So you know, in the church, we have the health message, which is supposed to be healthy, but many people have an unhealthy relationship with the health message. Can you believe that? All right? And we're going to explore the rightful place of the health message in our relationship with God. All right. Everyone recognize these folks? Yes, Jennifer Lopez, Ariana Grande. You got athletes, actors, politicians, singers, all different things. But you know what? You know one thing they have in common? They're all vegans. Okay, they're every single one is vegan. Have you noticed recently that veganism is now in? Yeah. Vegan is cool. It's not some weird thing anymore. It is cool to be vegan. All right. In fact, there was an article that came out in McLean's, and they said, 2018, year of plant-based foods, showing that which age group? Millennials are taking veganism mainstream. Okay, in fact, Dalhousie University did a study, and they said that among Canadian millennials, veganism is exploding. The word that they use is mind-blowing. Okay, the explosion among Canadian young people. They have very good reasons to champion veganism. So animal cruelty, right? So less cruelty to animals, better for the environment, and of course, it's better for health. Amen?
Amen.
Do we believe in these things as a church? Do we believe in environmental stewardship? Yes, yes. How about less animal cruelty? Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, we can agree with these things. But in the church, we have a problem, okay? According to the Adventist Health Study number 2, they did a study and they looked at Adventists. Only about a little over 30%, 35 whatever percent, are plant-based. Which means that the vast majority of Seventh-day Adventists, though we have the health message, is not practicing the health message. Are we together? Okay. Is not practicing the health message. And you got a wide spectrum in the church today. You got two spectrums. And I hope that most of us will fall within somewhere in the middle. But you got those who are saying the health message is just a bunch of suggestions. It doesn't matter if you follow them or not. It's not a salvational issue. It's just suggestions. You could take it or leave it. It doesn't matter. Okay, that's one extreme. The other extreme are those who follow the health message, but they have unnecessary guilt and extreme views. Are we together? And my goal is hopefully we can kind of explore what the Bible says and what the spirit of prophecy says, and kind of try to land somewhere in the middle. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, all right. Because both these things are incorrect. So I just want to share some very, very quick points with you, okay? And if we have the mic, I'm going to try to get you guys to also read along with me, all right? So what am I supposed to believe? You got some pastors who are gung-ho about the health message. A lot of pastors don't even talk about the health message because they don't practice the health message. Some churches never talk about it. Once in my church, when I came to the church, almost nobody talked about the health message. Potluck was vegetarian, but nobody talked about it. Okay, so there's reason for a lot of confusion. I believe that a lot of young people are confused as well. How many of you guys have had times where you guys had conflicting messages about the health message? Yes, yes, okay. All right. Number one, do you believe in the spirit of prophecy? Okay. Of course, GYC does. But you know, your answer to this question is going to determine your relationship with the health message. Okay? This guy here, does anyone recognize this individual? No? Okay. This guy is Dr. Lee Sang-gu, or Lee Sang-gu for this anglicized version. Okay, Dr. Lee Sang-gu. Dr. Lee was a doctor. He was an allergist in California. And he had a very lucrative practice. But he noticed that his patients weren't getting better. So one day he stumbled across Ellen White's writings, and where she talked about a vegan diet. And so what he did was he said, hey, let's try this. So he told his patients to stop eating cheese, stop drinking milk, stop eating meat, and guess what happened? They got better. Okay, so this launched him on a mission to promote the health message. He eventually became a doctor at Weimar Institute. You guys know Weimar, right? Weimar. He became a doctor at Weimar, and he became extremely famous among the Korean community. If you go to any Korean Adventist adult above the age of 30 or 40, they're going to know this doctor. Okay? In fact, he became so big that he did a documentary series with the biggest Korean broadcasting station in Korea, and meat sales plummeted by 30%. Can you imagine? That's how influential this guy was, okay? Of course, the meat and the food processing industry got really upset, so he started putting a lot of pressure on KBS, the Korean broadcasting station, and they eventually canceled his broadcast. That's how big this guy was, okay? But then they retracted and then they put him back on. He was a very strong believer in the spirit of prophecy and a strong believer in Ellen White, and an Adventist. Today, for the last three years, he is not an Adventist. He doesn't believe in the spirit of prophecy, and he eats meat. Are we together? A major change. And when he converted out of Adventism and he started to eat meat again and started to disavow everything he had taught in the past, it was huge headlines in Korea. Okay? But the point is, your belief in the spirit of prophecy is going to dictate your understanding of the health message. Okay? Because going plant-based and all this kind of stuff, you know, you find it in the Bible, but the emphasis comes from the spirit of prophecy. Are we together? Okay, so when Adventists, when they don't believe that Ellen White is inspired, then they automatically throw out the health message. Are we together? Okay. But if you believe, which I do, that Ellen White is the inspired messenger of the Lord, then you cannot read Ellen White and neglect the health message. You just absolutely cannot honestly do that. Okay. So the very first point, or the very first question we have to answer is, do you believe in the spirit of prophecy? Okay. Now, if there's a young person or somebody in your church or whoever who does not believe in the spirit of prophecy, then there's no point even talking about the health message. You have to start talking about the spirit of prophecy and whether that's inspired. Are we together? Okay, you have to go at a more lower level, okay? Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. All right. Two. The health message is not the message, but an essential part. Amen? Okay, let's get someone to read that quotation there, Testimonies to the Church, Volume 1. So, the health reform is connected to, but it is not the message. Amen? Okay, going vegan, whatever, is not the core of our message. That, if you understand that, say amen. Amen. Okay, sometimes we can overemphasize these things. Okay, so since it's not the message, let's stop caring. Should that be our attitude? No, absolutely not. Let's balance it up with this statement. Maybe the next person, Daniel.
The indifference with which the health books have been treated by many is an offense to God.
Okay, let's pause there. Just look at the strong language she uses. If you neglect to study the inspired writings on health, she said what? It's an offense to God. That's strong language, yes? Okay. They'll continue reading.
To separate the health work from the great body of the work is not in its order. The gospel of health has able advocates, but their work has been made very hard because so many ministers, presidents of conferences, and others in positions of influence have failed to give the question of health reform its proper attention. They have not recognized it in its relation to the work of the message as the right arm of the body.
All right. Do you guys know any pastors who don't follow the health message? Don't raise your hands. But you see here, the health message is not the message. Amen. Okay. However, on the other hand, clearly it's very important. Okay. And it's very important for preparing a people for Jesus coming. All right. Number three, it's an obligation and a duty, but not the cause of our salvation. Amen. Okay. Okay, so we all know this verse, right? So we are saved by what? Grace through faith. Okay, Jesus died on the cross in his work in the sanctuary and so forth. Okay, so does that mean works doesn't matter anymore? No. Okay, let's balance it out with these other statements in the Bible. Can someone else read?
So 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do,
amen. And next one, please.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that to you present in your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your responsible service.
Reasonable service, yes. Thank you. Thank you, friend. So, as you can see here, Paul is sharing two things. He says he's making it very clear that the cause of our salvation is Jesus dying on the cross. That is the cause of our salvation. However, he also says that we still have to honor our God, glorify God through our bodies in our eating and our drinking. Are we clear? Okay, so it is not the cause of our salvation, but you better believe it's an obligation and it is a duty. Okay? All right. Number four. Recklessness in our health is sin. Okay, recklessness in our health is sin. I'll read this one. The transgression of physical law is a transgression of what? God's law. And the human being who is careless and reckless of the habits and practices that concern his physical life and health, what? Sins against God. Very interesting. A continual transgression of nature's laws is a continual transgression of the law of God. Sins of the greatest magnitude are committed through the indulgence of perverted appetite. Excessive indulgence in eating, drinking, sleeping, or seeing is what? Sin. Are we together? It's now we have to be very careful here. What is sin? What is characterized as sin here? Excessive. Yes, the words here, excessive. Okay? Perverted appetite. Okay? Reckless habits. Okay? So, I'm going to give you an example. There's a difference between... let's backtrack. When you read Ellen White, does she recommend eating brown rice or white rice? Whole grains or refined grains? Whole grains, okay? Does she say that excessive use of sugar is not good? Yeah, she does. Okay? Now, you know, if you misunderstand her, you could go to a Korean restaurant and the only thing they serve there is white rice. So you sit down, you look at your bowl of white rice and you say, if I eat this, it's a sin. Okay? But let me ask you a question. Is eating a single bowl of white rice reckless behavior? It is not. Okay, it is not. Amara says, how big is the bowl? Yeah, I guess that counts too. Okay, let's get orange juice. Okay. Orange juice, newsflash, is not the greatest thing for you. Okay, just hope you know that. Orange juice is not the same as eating oranges. Hope you know that. Okay. Is loaded with sugar, okay? But is there a difference between drinking orange juice every single day and drinking orange juice once at Thanksgiving? Is there a difference? Yes. Okay, there's a difference, okay? Is there a difference if the only thing you eat is only refined grains? You know, science shows that refined grains is linked with diabetes, heart disease, and so forth, okay? But not a single bowl of white rice. Are we together? Okay, so you have to really understand when you read the spirit of prophecy, especially amongst conservatives, and I think most of us are probably conservative, right? We can really kind of guilt trip ourselves into this mode of thinking that, like, I'm going to eat one cookie. That is a sin. Okay, no, that's not. Okay, but if you're eating cookies every day and you have no control over your habits, well, I believe that's probably a sin for you if the Lord is convicting you on that, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, I hope that really makes sense. All right. Number five, disregarding God's dietary instructions may be sin. Okay, now the words is may be. Okay, I'll get back to that. But you know, is there an example in the Bible where somebody disobeyed what God told them not to eat and it was a sin? Yes, Adam and Eve. God said, don't eat it, they ate it. That was a sin. But it unleashed the suffering in this world was unleashed just because our first parents ate something that God told them not to eat. Very simple. Okay? So was it a sin for Adam and Eve? It was. Okay? So when people say what you eat and what you don't eat, whether I'm obeying God in the health message, that does not matter because it's not a sin. Well, false. It actually could be a sin. Okay? Now, here, I use the words maybe. Does anyone know why I might have chosen those words, maybe? You know, when I was growing up, right, I was like half Christian, and nowhere near Adventist. We're eating shrimp, tempura, we're eating pepperoni pizza. But did I know any better? Is God going to hold me accountable for that? No, was it sin for me? No, I mean, it was ruining my body, but like, I don't know if that would be really, God would really hold me accountable, okay? But after I knew the truth, after I discovered the truth, and I'm still rebelling against God, could that be a sin? Yes, absolutely, okay? All right. Spiritual, physical, these two things are inseparable. This is very important, okay? Can someone read this quotation from the Spirit of Prophecy? Amara, yes.
The body is the only medium through which the mind and the soul are developed for the upbuilding of character. Hence, it is that the adversary of souls directs his temptations to the enfeebling and degrading of the physical powers.
Okay, you notice here, the body is the only medium through which the mind and soul are developed for the upbuilding of the character. Okay? You see, us as Adventists, we do not believe in like your mind is somewhere here and your body is completely separate. No, we believe in a whole. Okay? Well, how you affect your physical body is going to affect your spiritual, your emotions, so forth. Okay? This is why what we do to our physical bodies is extremely important. Okay? And science is demonstrating this. You've heard of the gut microbiome? How many of you have heard of the gut microbiome? Okay? These bacteria in your gut. Did you know that the bacteria in your gut influences your mood? Did you know that? That's amazing. Okay, these bacteria in your gut influences your mood. Okay, and your bacteria are healthy or unhealthy depending on the food that you give it. Okay, so you can see there already a biological link between what you're doing to yourself physically and then what's going up in here. Okay, so you cannot separate physical and spiritual. These two things are different but united. Okay. Moving on here, back to plant-based diet. I believe that when you read the Spirit of Prophecy, it is extremely clear that the Lord is calling His people back to a plant-based diet. Okay, does someone want to read this for us? I love how Ellen White sometimes appeals to the animal cruelty aspect. All right. Before, I didn't care about animals, to be honest with you. It was all about health. But after reading some Spirit of Prophecy, I realized she actually appeals to the animal cruelty aspect, which I think is pretty cool. Okay, but you notice it's very clear she's calling us to dispense of these foods. Okay, and this one here, again and again, I've been shown that God is bringing His people back to His original design, that is, not to subsist on the flesh of dead animals. I don't know how she could be any more clear than this. Okay. Now, before I turn to the next one, some of you might be really upset with me with what I'm going to share with the next one, but please forgive me. All right. But not necessarily vegan. Amen? Some of you are probably ready to tar and feather me, okay? But let's read, okay? Let's read what she says, okay? Let diet reform be progressive. Let the people be taught how to prepare food without the use of milk or butter. Tell them that the time will soon come. I want you guys to notice, the time will soon come. Does she specify a date? October 12, 2021. No. She just says, the time will soon come when there will be no safety in using eggs, milk, cream, or butter. So is there going to come a time where God's people are going to have to go vegan? Yes. But does she stipulate a time? No. All right. Because disease in animals is increasing in proportion to the increased wickedness among men. The time is near when, because of the iniquity of the fallen race, the whole animal creation will groan and under the disease that curse others. But in the case of persons whose blood-making organs are feeble, especially if other foods to supply the needed elements cannot be obtained, milk and eggs should not be wholly discarded. Again, I don't know how she could be any more clear than this. Okay? So, let's recap. Is there going to come a time where God's people are going to have to essentially go vegan? Yes. Okay. When is that time? when disease among animals is so rampant that it's not going to be safe. Now, personally for me, I believe that time has come. That's my personal conviction, and hence, I am a vegan. Okay? But you have to stick with the text of what she's saying. So because she doesn't say exactly when, right, it's hard to tell, enforce that on other people. Are we together? Okay? So because some people might say, well, maybe the disease is not enough and I'm still going to eat my milk. Okay, so it's like, okay, what can I say? Okay, it's my opinion versus your opinion, all right? I have no date in the spirit of prophecy to tell me that my opinion is right, that in 2019 that I should be vegan, okay? But it is my personal conviction that that time has come and that animals are very diseased, and so I choose to be vegan, okay? But, you know, there will come a time where I believe that God will lead his people to become more, to become vegan. You also notice that in situations where getting adequate nutrition is not really plausible, that eggs and milk should not be discarded. Are we together? You see that? Okay? We gotta be practical, yes? We have to be practical. Now, I believe that getting rid of meat is really the ideal, that we should be trying to push most people towards that direction. But milk and eggs is kind of a gray area. Okay? Now, we're in North America where vegan options are like taking over. So I don't know if there's really any excuse for us, to be honest with you. But when you're meeting with certain people, you got to look at their context. So are we seeing a balance here? Yes? Okay. It's very important that we present these things in the right way. Coffee, tea, alcohol, recreational drugs should be discarded. Okay? Tea, coffee, and tobacco are all stimulating and contain poisons. They are not only unnecessary but harmful and should be discarded. Tea is poisonous to the system. Christians should let it alone. Again, I don't know how she can be any more clear. The influence of coffee is in a degree the same as tea, but the effect upon the system is still worse. Okay, so, and of course, I don't need to go to alcohol and recreational drugs. That's pretty self-explanatory. Okay? But, you know, there's a lot of Adventists who still drink coffee and tea, and I think that it's probably better for us, and I think we have good counsel to kind of give up these things. Okay, so that would be my suggestion to you folks. I think this is the last point. Beyond the very clear, do not impose yourself as a standard. Okay? Let's get someone to read this for us. I think this is our last point. Where's the mic? Whoever's closest to the mic. Yes, Ella, thank you.
It is impossible to make an unvarying rule to regulate everyone's habits, and no one should make himself a criterion for all. Not all can eat the same things. Foods that are palatable and wholesome to one person may be distasteful or even harmful to another.
Okay, that's pretty clear. Okay, so for instance, if you have patients, so we have patients sometimes who have like IBS, and they can't eat beans. They just can't. Okay, they can't eat any grains. They just can't. All right, so like, what do you do with these people, right? You can't tell them to, hey, eat whole grains. No, it's like they get diarrhea, all right? So you can't sell yourself as a criterion for... So now, I want to use a very personal example. So my wife is in the back. So I'm going to use this example. But, you know, my wife... So for me, my personal standard is I do not eat junk food. Okay, at least as much as possible, I do not eat junk food. Okay? Now, do you guys recognize this stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, some of you that watch Korean dramas probably recognize this. Pocky and Milona, these are like very popular Korean snacks. Okay, they're like Korean popsicles, all right? And chocolate and stuff like that. So, you know, my wife, she grew up in a very strict Adventist environment. I think it was kind of like overemphasis, if you will, or like not proper instruction on the reasons for the health message, right? So she was kind of like deprived of like lots of exposure. For me, I came from the opposite extreme. My dad owned a convenience store, so like I was eating chocolate bars and chips and ice cream on demand. All right. In fact, I like to tell the story one time. You guys know the restaurant Mandarin, the buffet, the Mandarin. Well, my dad, just to give an example of my background, my dad took us to the Mandarin 5 days straight one time, to a buffet 5 days straight. Okay? That's the environment. So for me, when I encountered the health message and not eating junk food, I was like, yes, praise the Lord, you know, give my arteries a break. Okay? but my wife is a little bit different. She came from a different experience. So every once in a while, she doesn't eat this often, but every once in a while, she, when you go to a Korean store, she likes to buy the pocky, or she like eat a little bit of melona. And I personally don't eat it, but I try not to kind of criticize her for that. Does that make sense? Okay. Sorry? Yeah, so this is kind of what we're talking about. But in our home, well, we do have standards. So in our home, we're vegetarian in our home. So we don't eat meat at our home, okay? We don't drink dairy and stuff like that. But you know, people are all on a different journey, and you kind of have to kind of work with it within certain boundaries. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right, we don't drink caffeine and all this kind of stuff, okay? But you know, I try to allow some wiggle room and stuff like that. So try to be reasonable, and you know, if you're a very strong opinionated about the health message, understand that, you know, there are people who have struggles. Okay, and so you have to try to be really understanding in these situations. All right. As Ella pointed out, you know, it was a health message presented in the right way that really won her. Okay. All right. So there's real common sense in dietetic reform. I love this quote. Okay, you gotta really use some common sense. Okay, and I think if you have at least some decent common sense, you can figure things out. Okay, it's not really that complicated, to be honest with you. It really surprises me that we complicate things so much about this issue. Like, folks, it's really not that complicated, okay? It's really not that complicated. All right, I'm gonna just go through very quickly some common arguments that people bring against the health message, and then we're gonna close off, right? So common objections to the health message, number one, it is not a salvation issue. How many of you heard of this? It is not a salvation issue. You know, my answer is very simple. You know, this is a true question to ask, is this salvation or is this not? Can you think of an example in the Bible where God gives someone a command and the guy says, is this salvational? You can't think of a single example. Okay, I believe that a true Christian says, is this the Lord's will? If it is, I'm just going to obey. Amen? Okay, that's the attitude of a true Christian. So I have a hard time understanding why people really raise this issue. Okay, the true Christian says, I love the Lord, and whatever He wants me to do, I'm going to do it. And if I've struggled to do it, then Lord, please help me to obey. They don't just brush aside God's explicit commands and just say, oh, this is not salvational. Okay, they don't, I personally believe, I can't find an example of that in Scripture. Don't be legalistic. How many of you have heard of this? Okay. Answer is very simple. Is obedience legalism? No. How about specific obedience? Is specific obedience legalism? No. What if it's like really, really minute obedience? Is that legalism? No, it's not, okay? Legalism is when you believe that what you're doing merits your salvation. Are we together? So legalism is an attitude. It's not necessarily the behavior, okay? The Pharisees were legalistic not because they're like necessarily obeying God. It's because they're adding their own rules, and also they thought that what they're doing was kind of like making God like smile on them, and that's the reason for their salvation. That is legalism, okay? But because you obey God in the minute things, it's not legalism, okay? So 10%, that's pretty specific, is it not? 10% tithe? So can someone say, oh, this is legalistic? 9%. Can you do that? Or 99.9%? Or maybe, you know what I mean? You can't do that. No, 10% is 10%. It's pretty specific, but if you love the Lord, you're just going to obey, okay? But of course, that's not the reason why God saves you. All right. The Bible permits eating meat. How many of you guys heard of this one? The Bible permits eating meat. All right. Now, I don't have the best answer, but I want to propose an answer. Okay. Are there certain things in the Bible, certain instructions that God gave that does not change, regardless of time? What are some of those things? Ten Commandments. Keeping the Ten Commandments. Yes. What else? How about prayer? You have to pray? Yes? Repentance, is that still binding? Yes, okay. Is there anywhere that says like it changed? No, okay. Are there certain instructions or the will of God or whatever? I don't know. I'm not sure what the best way to put it is, but are there certain things that God said, but then He kind of modifies as you go along? Yes, what are some of those things? Worship spaces, okay.
Like synagogues, temples.
Okay. How about diet? Does God's instructions to humanity on diet Does it kind of modify throughout scripture? Yes, it does. So in Genesis, what was the original diet? Grains, fruits, nuts, and then after sin, God adds vegetables. Okay, so he modifies. Then after the flood, what does God add?
Meat.
But then in the Exodus, what does God say? Clean and unclean meat. Are we together? Okay. So God modifies his diet depending on the circumstances. Okay. So is it possible then that at the end of time, where God is preparing a final generation to meet the Lord, to face the worst crisis in human history, that he might, again, through his messenger, make another modification to the diet? Is that possible? I believe that is absolutely possible. And especially when the diet that we're proposing is found in the Bible, the original plant-based diet, okay? So I'm not sure if that satisfies everyone, but at least it satisfies me. All right, even vegetarians get sick. How many of you have heard of this one? Okay. You know, just because you can't eat a perfect diet does not mean that you can't try a better one. Are we together? Okay. So vegetarians may get sick. There are some vegetarians, like for instance, I have a patient, she's vegan, she has diabetes. How do you explain that? And she's like super thin. How do you explain that? Like, that's like unreal, okay? All right. But you know, there's a lot of variability, okay? However, if you look at the scientific studies, okay, the evidence, the scientific evidence, a plant-based diet is by far the best diet possible at this time. Are we together? Okay, so just because there are examples of unhealthy this person, unhealthy that person, doesn't mean that you can't try something better. For me, I'd rather gamble my health on what's best, okay? I see many vegetarians eating unhealthy foods. How many of you have heard of this one? Look at you, health reformers. They're eating vegan ice cream. And that stuff is loaded with sugar. You guys are hypocrites. Okay? Well, my simple response is this. Then you don't be a hypocrite. Okay? If you know so well that these things are bad for you, then you be a good vegetarian. Amen? Okay, so you be a good vegetarian. Don't let the hypocrisy of others deter you from trying a good thing, okay? So I think this argument is extremely bogus. All right. This one, I think this is the last one. Eating fruits and vegetables are not healthy anymore. How many of you have heard of this one? Okay. So how do you answer to this one? So grow your own. Grow your own, okay. You know, I believe the answer is very simple. You know, everything's messed up, yes? Even the fruits and vegetables are messed up. Okay, we need Jesus to come again, amen?
Amen?
So everything's messed up. So let's just accept everything is messed up, okay? So now amongst all the things that are messed up, what's the best? Okay? And I believe that is eating a plant-based diet, okay? Now, people say, you know, oh, the fruits and the vegetables, they're modified, they're GMO, they're tampering with the fruits and vegetables. But you know what's also tampered with? Meat, dairy. Right? You know what they do? You know what they're doing to the chickens and the cows and so forth? So if you think that fruits and vegetables are messed up, well, you better believe the animal products are really, really messed up. Okay? So to be honest with you, even though they're messed up, fruits and vegetables are still the better option. Okay? So, and let's finish the work so we can go home. Amen? All right. So to close off, some people, they say just the health message is just a bunch of suggestions. It doesn't matter. Not a salvation issue. Keep it or leave it. I don't care. Okay. The other extreme is I'm going to be guilty because I ate a bowl of white rice. That's the other extreme. Okay. And I believe that somewhere in the middle is where we have to land. Okay. It is not the cause of our salvation, but it definitely is a duty. Amen. It is definitely a duty, and God will hold us accountable for how we treat our bodies.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.